And good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from the Radio Ranch. It was a beautiful day here this Thursday, November 9th, 2017. Was a beautiful day today. Blue skies. Oh, kind of cloudy just around, but plenty of blue skies and sunshine and about 45 degrees for a high. Was out feeding the cattle today, and as long as you got out of that little breeze, it was quite pleasant out there. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for a pleasant day here at the Radio Ranch. No rain, no snow, and not really a lot of wind. And so thank you for that. Amen. Was a beautiful day. Hope you had a good day today, weather-wise and spiritual-wise as well. And got some current events, some things caught my eye this week. The sicknesses are still raging. And I don't mean the flu or the cold. Deadly tuberculosis. We've talked about it before. It's popped up in New York, California, and places. Well, it's moving. It's spreading. I thought we'd talk about that a little bit tonight. In the Old Testament, in the Bible reading plan, got through Chronicles and finished up Ezra today. Thought we'd talk about that a little bit. And some other current events. Boy, crime just is almost nonstop, it seems like. But let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer and ask His blessings on this broadcast before we go much further, because we are to be. I'm going to read a little bit from 2 Thessalonians that seeing the times that we're in, what sort of people, how should we be, what should we be doing? Talked with several people about this very thing this past week here from the ministry and on the phone with the remnant. And we are to be praying people. We are to be in prayer. We are. Well, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here on the Radio Ranch microphone and to speak to your people, to have fellowship with them and with you, even if it's over the airwaves, Lord. Thank you. I ask, O Lord, that you would send the Holy Spirit to guide and direct me, to give me the thoughts and the words to convey, the scriptures to read, and Lord, the right understanding for them, seeing how they apply to each and every one of us today, Lord. Help us learn from those that have gone before us. Help us to learn from your scriptures and your stories and the word that we read, Lord, and help us to apply it to our lives, that we would walk closer to you, staying on that straight and narrow path. Father, we do pray for those that are recovering down in Texas from that church shooting. Father, we pray that they are drawn nearer to you, that, Lord, they find that comfort and peace in your word and in seeking you in prayer and supplication. That, Lord, they don't turn to the worldly things for peace and comfort, Lord, not the worldly things of debauchery or alcohol or drugs, but, Lord, that they turn to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. For, Father, we know that is where that peace that surpasses all understanding, that comfort comes from. Father, I cry out and I ask for your peace and comfort to be upon those family and friends of those killed in that church shooting, that you do draw them nearer to one another and nearer to you. We thank you, Lord. Father's business is closing down here in town, affecting many lives, and I pray for your comfort for them as well. That, Lord, it is a time for these families to draw closer together and to draw closer to you and dependent on you for all things. Thank you again, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you for the remnant. I pray your blessings on them and on all who call you Lord and do as your word directs. Thank you, Lord. Direct and guide me in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Yeah, I did have a little news flash here. Doesn't really affect anyone else outside of this little town very much, but we're seeing it still is just spreading. And that is, we have a technical school here in Laramie. There's several across the country Wyotech is what it's called here, and several technical schools. They do diesel and body body repair, customizations, all types of things. And I've known several students that have gone through it. Had a young man in the church went through it a few years ago and graduated successfully, and they did real well in helping him get jobs to where he paid off his student loan in just a few years. Worked out real well. But, well, the Wyotech, I heard, is closing down. About 60 jobs, and that's here in Laramie in a town of 32,000. That will be a huge impact. 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 students, will be several hundred apartments that will just not have anybody to stay in them next year. So just this one school closing having a great impact here, a great big bad impact. And there are others. I haven't had time to research it and see where the other technical schools are that are closing down, but I'm sure it's similar across the country. And we've seen that, of course, with many manufacturing jobs, but we see it with this. This is a higher learning technical school where they train people in the trades. Where are the mechanics of tomorrow going to learn how to be mechanics? Because their fathers aren't teaching them at home as my dad did, and as we've tried to do with our children. Where are they going to get them from? Maybe we'll import them from China or Mexico. So I do ask you to keep the families of those affected there with the Wyotech closing in your prayers, because it's going to be a major impact. Told you at the beginning, this tuberculosis that's popped back up caught my attention. Wanted to share a couple things with you. We've talked about over the past couple of years the tuberculosis, which was in the early 1900s pretty much eradicated from this country at one time, but we're seeing that it's making a comeback. And we've reported in our review of the news as well as on these evening broadcasts the outbreaks that we've seen, especially of tuberculosis, of antibiotic resistant tuberculosis. And we've seen it in places like Florida and Texas and California, New Mexico, places that have a large migrant population. And we are seeing it continued here. It is in Minnesota. Minnesota County scrambles to control the deadly tuberculosis outbreak. The Minnesota County is grappling with the largest outbreak of tuberculosis in the country. And this is just here in November of 2017. 17 confirmed cases, 6 fatalities. Now, that's what the Minnesota Department of Health is reporting. They have linked 3, it says, of the 6 deaths in Ramsey County directly to the disease. And so I think that's another 3. Of course, they're putting tons of resources into it. It's a multi-drug-resistant disease, which means the pharmakia, the spells they've been using in the past, the antibiotics to treat this tuberculosis, what worked 100 years ago to eradicate it, is not working now. It says the majority of cases have involved people in the elderly Hmong community, and I don't know if that's pronounced right, because it doesn't look to me like it's spelled right, but I've seen it before, so I know it is. But it's an H-M. How do you pronounce H-M at the beginning of a word without just saying H-M? Hmong community. Says TB is now resistant to at least 2 of the usual drugs that are used. Goes on and says the state is tallied 160 cases of this tuberculosis so far this year. So far this year, here it is, just the beginning of November, 160 cases. Last year's total was only 168. So when you look and see about a 15 per month average, they're going to be well over last year's tuberculosis. And this year's tuberculosis is resistant. See, this is what we get when we have these large immigrant populations that are just of a different culture communities that still kill their goats and chickens and just hang them up by the front door and in the living room and outside. It's just a different culture. So we see that. I think one other part of Minnesota, one other reason that we may be seeing this plague come upon it, and this is filth here, I don't even want to mention it, but got this off christiannews.net. Two men who identify as women elected to government offices. And one is, guess what? Minnesota. Andrea Jenkins, whose birth name has not been cited in reports. So this is a man who likes to think he's a woman. So Andrea, this man who calls himself a woman's name, was elected to the Minneapolis City Council with 73% of the vote. Has been working for senior policy aid for the past 12 years. Oh, she, he, it. How do you say that? I might get arrested for misidentifying the proper gender identifier for today. What the? That's happening in elementary schools, folks. California, if you misidentify the proper gender and call the he a she or an it, or the she a he or a what, or a, they write you a ticket and put you in jail. Is it me, or is this just crazy? The Thing is also active as a poet and a transgender activist. Then there's another one. I don't have the details on the other one. I'm prepared and ready to bring positive change toward a more equitable Minneapolis. Well, guess what equity they want? Looking forward to creating the policies and programs necessary to bring sustainable improvement for everyone in our economy, housing, and services. He's happy that it's when... and saying that the days of transgender people being marginalized are over. We don't want to just have a seat at the table. We want to set the pace. Well, guess what, Minnesota? Maybe that's why you're having the plague outbreak of tuberculosis. This transgender filth abomination elected to city council. And there's another one. Elected to Virginia's House of Delegates. Lord, how long? How long? And we wonder, as a people, why we have church shootings in this country. You know, this latest church shooting certainly was not the first. Got a short list here of just a few. And I, when I saw this list in the news, I had not heard of these others. So we had the church shooting in Sutherland Springs, Texas, on November 5th, just last week. We understand that. Out in Fresno on November 5th, also two people were shot at St. Alphonsus Church in Fresno. Okay. In Antioch, Texas, back in September, it says one person were killed and six others injured in a September 24th church shooting. In the Burnett Chapel Church of Christ, shot a woman outside and then walked in and shot six other people. And I didn't hear anything about that. And you know, I kind of help out with security at my church. How about you? So when I see these kind of things, they kind of hit home. And I try to pay attention to them when I see them in the news, and I didn't hear anything about that there at the Burnett Chapel Church of Christ in Antioch, Tennessee, just in September. Charleston, South Carolina, June 2015, of course, nine people killed at the Black Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal. Back in 2008, Knoxville, Tennessee, killed two people. Back in March of 05, Brookfield, Wisconsin, shot seven people and hurt four more at a church service. Back in 99 in Fort Worth, seven people shot at Wedgwood Baptist Church in Fort Worth. And so it's way too common. I remember there reading the story down in Colorado Springs. I didn't get the details here for the broadcast tonight. There was a repeat of the news story floating around a little bit. I saw it on Fox for a few days ago. But there was a church shooting here in Colorado years ago. And the person came up in a church parking lot, killed a couple people, I think, in maybe in the Springs. And then came up to, I want to say, Fort Collins or Loveland. And tried to do the same thing, and by golly, a female that they had set up for security pulled her gun and shot that bastard dead. Introduced him to Jesus Christ the hard way. Because we all will meet him on that day of judgment before the great white throne. And Buddy, she introduced him to him, but he didn't kill anybody else. And the state hasn't had to pay for his psychiatric evaluations every 6 months and his special halal food or whatever he might request. She just introduced him to the man. You have to answer force with force. I've mentioned it before. I have seen a bumper sticker that says only good guys with guns can stop bad guys with guns, because legislation doesn't stop them. They're breaking the law anyway. This ex-dishonorably discharged out of the Air Force, I believe, shooter down in Sutherland Springs, Texas, he wasn't supposed to have a firearm anyway. The law said he wasn't supposed to have it. Oh, well, but because of that, this happened, and the Air Force forgot to send the Form 212 out, and one guy didn't dot an I because blah, 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 blah. Tell that to the families that lost children. I was glad to see, and I hope he follows through with it, when Vice President Mike Pence was down there this past week and said, we will find out why the Air Force didn't get the paperwork reported, and we will get that fixed. See, he took responsibility. He said, we messed up on this. And that's what a Christian does. As opposed to, those other people were supposed to do something. And God bless the neighbor in that church. I've seen it. Don't have his name right here in front of me, but when he lived next door to the church and he heard gunfire, he went and got his defensive weapon, and he took the guy out. Shot him twice. And the good guy with a gun stopped the bad guy with a gun. Folks, you know why Europe is in the mess that it's in, other than their sin? They gave up their guns. And was talking with a brother a little earlier today about this very thing, that it seems like if you look at their education system and the socialist way that they've had it there, the European nations were about 20 years ahead of us in that filth, in that brainwashing of a generation, almost two, of their people to just accept whatever happens. You don't have guns. You don't have any way to defend yourself. And when you get invaded, you just sit back and take it. And when your women are raped, I've got some statistics for you coming up, you just sit back and take it. Because that's the culture of these invaders. And the European nations have been about 20, I would guess, about 20, maybe 30 years ahead of us in brainwashing their people, in brainwashing the next generation, and allowing killers to go free. But by God, if somebody thinks you're a Nazi, or somebody thinks you say something about, hey, we shouldn't be invaded, we'll lock you up and fine you $10,000. Does that sound familiar? Because we're having those thought crimes here. Those thought crimes that our pastor told us about and prophesied about and warned us about. Pastor has a message, and I think it's called Thought Crimes. If you'd like that on CD, you write to us, send us an email, a smoke signal, drop us a line in the mail. We'll send it to you. Thought Crimes. It's back from the late 80s. And we are living it today, what our pastor warned us about. saw this news flash, didn't see it on the regular news. I try to check those every now and then, but all you see up there is something about President Trump feeding koi fish in Japan or something, and I really fail to see how that has anything to do with what's going on here in this country, with the destruction of everything that is good and right and holy. It talks about over in England, in London, the crime, the massive crime, how London has become worse than New York City as far as crimes. Okay? And it was this one story of these coming up to a 17-year-old, and it's these, you don't see the picture of them, and they don't tell you what race they are, so you know that they're Muslim Haji illegal immigrants that have migrated into Europe, and they come up and kill, and they attack two kids, 17-year-olds. One gets away, the other one gets knifed in the belly. He runs away, his guts spilling all over the place, literally. See, that's how the Indians used to do it, the lawless Indians. That's what they would do. Well, they're still doing it in London. Says his intestines were spilling out of his belly, and of course he died. It gets a one-page mention over here. Reported rapes are running 3 times higher in London than in New York City. London? Remember the old song, London Bridge is Falling Down? London's falling down, I can tell you that. London is now more dangerous than New York City. How you like that? New York City, it's as bad as it can get. London has gotten worse. I've got a few statistics here for you. Well, is it any wonder? The London mayor, Sadiq Khan. Sadiq, S-A-D-I-Q, last name Khan, K-H-A-N. And he's a mixed breed, brown, mongrel, Muslim something. And he's the mayor of London. He, of course, represents the left liberal Labour Party. In March this year, he said London is the safest global city in the world, and it is one of the safest cities in the world. You are welcome to come to London. We welcome everyone. We are a safe place. I didn't have a recording of him. I was just trying to match it. This is how safe London is. 1,229,000 violent offenses so far this year. That's so far an increase of 20% over last year. Rapes, 45,000 rapes, an increase of 22% over last year. Hey, let's go vacation in London. Maybe we'll get beat up and get our eyeballs poked out, and maybe the women that go with us, our wives and daughters, will get raped. Well, you don't see that on the on CNN. How come old Wolf Blitzer and old Pretty Boy's not reporting on that? 36,000 stabbings, an increase of 26%, and almost 7,000 firearm-related offenses, an increase of 27% over last year. And they have got more draconian, more strict legal gun ownership laws and restrictions than New York City does here. And so more and more law-abiding people don't have their guns in London, and the crime goes up and up and up. Ah, let's do not forget the London mayor, Sadiq Khan. Sadiq Khan says, oh yes, now remember, London is the safest global city in the world, and it is one of the safest cities you could be in. We are welcome. We are welcome you are here. Reminds me of a scripture verse. 1 Thessalonians 5. If you have your Bibles, take a look. Going to read a few verses here. 1 Thessalonians 5. Because these are the days we are living in. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 1, says, now as to the times and epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. while they are saying peace and safety. And isn't that what I pause here from 1 Thessalonians, and I go back to our London mayor, Sadiq Khan, as you're having a 20% increase in violence, a 22% increase in rapes, a 26% increase in knifings, stabbings, and almost 7,000 offenses with illegally owned firearms where the legal residents of London cannot defend themselves. 1 Thessalonians says, while they are saying peace and safety, this news report says of London Mayor Sadiq Khan, London is the safest global city in the world. It is one of the safest cities in the world. Welcome. Welcome. Come to London. We are glad you are here. It is safe here. What kind of idiot? What kind of idiot puts... And I know we say, do we not see? But see, again, there's that different culture we talked about at the very beginning of the program. There's that different culture. To London Mayor Sadiq Khan, oh, well, you know, it is very good that I have not been attacked, so everything is good. Welcome, come. Come to London. Safe, safe, safe. 1 Thessalonians 3 says, while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pangs upon a woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, you are not in darkness. And see, that this part right here is for us. All of it is. But this right here is specifically addressing us that see what is going on. You are not in darkness that that day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. That's me. That's what I claim. I am a son of the light, not a son of the darkness. I see this Sadiq Khan as the illegal immigrant antichrist that he is. We are not of night nor of darkness, says 1 Thessalonians 5:5. So see, this day of the Lord is coming. And to those that practice lawlessness, remember what Jesus said? He said, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You who say peace and safety when it is not peaceful and it is not safe. That day doesn't come on us like a thief. We rejoice when it comes. It says in verse 4, it will not overtake you like a thief. No, we rejoice. We have the door unlocked, the lights on, and the dinner table set when that great guest of ours comes. We're ready and waiting, yearning for his return, so that this evil and lawlessness will be done away with. We go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. We are to be aware of what is going on. Verse 7, for those who sleep, do their sleeping at night. And those who get drunk at night. Verse 8, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. I don't want to pause there again. I want to come back. A couple more verses here. But you see how he references this back. Remember there in Ephesians about the full armor of God? So that you may be able to stand in that day. So that you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. Remember that full armor? So that you may do battle as David, as a youth, ran against that God forsaken, God-cursing, heathen Goliath, as he ran towards him, praising God, the battle is the Lord's, cursing him in the name of our God. He was ready for that battle. Are you ready for the battle that comes today? I hope you're ready. Have you put on, as they talk about, that breastplate of faith and love, and that helmet, the hope of salvation. Have you girded your loins with truth today? Have you put on that breastplate of righteousness? Have you invoked the taking all your thoughts captive as you put that helmet of salvation on your head that blocks out that protects your head, your mind, your thinking? Have you invoked that perish the thought prayer that we've talked about and we've taught? That when those thoughts come in, you take those thoughts captive. Are you destroying speculations and every lofty thing that's raised up against the knowledge of God? Are you doing that this day? Are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? As much as it is up to you, do you live in peace with all men? As much as it is up to you. It makes me think again of that neighbor, that Sutherland Baptist Church. Nobody had ever heard of him before. He was... I haven't talked to him, haven't seen anything as to his religious beliefs, but I'll bet you he's a Christian. Why? Because of his actions. Because he loved his neighbors himself. And it sure seemed like he was doing all he could to live at peace with all men. But you know, when some demon is taking a gun and shooting innocent people, well, you can't live at peace with that kind of person. Folks, Christian, you can't live at peace with that kind of demoniac activity. And this Christian neighbor, God bless him, did what he was supposed to do. Oh, that he couldn't he have done it about 15 seconds earlier. But he did it. God bless him for that. Are you in that position? Are you ready, willing, and able should that need arise, Christian? I hope you are. Have you asked God to wrap you in that mantle of zeal so that you won't be ashamed of Jesus and His name? That good guy with the gun, that neighbor of the Sutherland Baptist Church there in Sutherland Springs, he had that mantle of zeal about him. He didn't think, maybe this guy's a haji, and I might offend someone if I shoot him. Maybe this is, he didn't think, maybe this is just part of that guy's culture to shoot and kill people at a church. Maybe he was offended. See, those thoughts, I'd bet you a dime to a donut, those thoughts didn't run in our friend's mind. No, he was ready for action. So I hope you've done that. I hope you've prayed. And yes, that's what this alludes to here in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5 is having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation. And again, that does allude to the full armor of God. That's, I hope you see how so very important as a Christian it is to be girded with that armor every day and to pray it on your family every day. Who knows what tomorrow brings? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we will do all we can. I will do all I can as a Christian to protect them and to serve my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in thought and in word and in action and in deed. Part of this is sharing this with you, so that you can do the same thing. First Thessalonians 5, a couple more verses. Verse 10 says, actually verse 9 says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." And that's what I'm trying to do here, folks. And I know that so many of you out there are doing that as well. You give an encouraging word when you can to your brethren. You're not ashamed when Jesus Christ is mentioned. When He's cursed, you're not ashamed to say, "Hey, buddy, don't talk like that around me. That's my Lord and Savior you're talking about, and that's offensive to me. And that's good when we can encourage one another like that. Call sin, sin. That's what it is. That's what it is. You don't have to do it in a condemning way. Jesus even said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. But in the same breath, he said, my word condemns it. His word tells us that those who practice lawlessness day in and day out, they don't inherit the kingdom. They don't make it to heaven, if that's the terminology that makes sense to you. They don't get eternity with Christ. Verse 9, God has not destined us for wrath, but for salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. I hope you are encouraged. Got a song for you. Let me get a quick drink of water. I'll be right back. The song is Sweet Hour of Prayer. You ever do that? You know, our Bible reading today in Ezra talks about prayer. Talks about what worked, what didn't. Boy, it sure seems like that we are there again today. We'll be right back. I love that song. That's the, let me see here, I think that's the Fellowship Singers. We've used those over the years, last couple years. I think John found them, and it's a big group. I think Alan Jackson sings that as well. I sure like that. sweet hour of prayer. Doesn't have to be an hour. But oh, you need to be a praying people. We do. That 1 Thessalonians 5 that we read, when it says in verse 9, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ," that's His plan. That's His plan. But you know, we have to work that plan. The plan is a good plan, but we have to do what the plan says. And of course, that salvation through Jesus Christ starts with believing that Jesus is the Son of God, confessing our sins, and then sharing in His death so that we can share in the glory of His resurrection. And we do that by, of course, being baptized for the remission of sins. Full immersion baptism in water. Yeah, water regeneration, if that's what you want to call it. That's not all of it, but that's a little part of it. And then we have, we have that assurance, that salvation of Christ, that, again, as 1 Thessalonians 5:4 says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief." See, then we're out of that darkness. We are transferred from that dominion of darkness to His dominion of abundant life and light. Well, I had one more current event here. We mentioned it a week or so ago, but I think it brings it home. The Democratic National Convention is hiring. They need, we mentioned it, some security officers, some full-stack engineers, from IT help desk managers, system administrators, designers, directors, managers, engineers, data science leads. But straight white guys don't apply, because they're not going to hire you, because there's too many of you already, okay? The data service manager, Madeline Leader, wrote in an email to exclude cisgender straight white males. And that's what that is. It's like, it's a new term they've come up with. How do you like that discrimination, folks? How do you like that? So, like it or lump it, you got it. One way or another, God will be praised. He continues to take the jobs away. We saw that here in Laramie today. Actually got the email last night, right after the prayer meeting. We prayed for those people. I prayed for them in my prayers this morning. I hope you will continue to share one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you hear these type things, pray for our people. What if it was your job that was lost? What if it was your son with his wife and two children? What if it was his job that got lost? Would it hit close enough to home for you to pray then? I hope it doesn't have to hit that close for you to pray. Well, today's Bible reading plan, we've been pushing and promoting, and you may say, "Oh boy, here he goes again, I'm turning it off." Well, go ahead and do that if that's what you want to do. But today's Bible reading plan is in Ezra. And you don't have to be reading just the red letters or just the law in the Old Testament or just the story of Joseph in Genesis to gain something when you read this. And when you read the Ezra 1 through 5 yesterday and 6 through 10 today, this is a time that the children of God have been outcast. They've been taken away, but they're coming back. This is about a half century after the Babylonians have come in and sacked Jerusalem and carried all the inhabitants into captivity. Well, the city did not remain. You have to remember now, the city did not remain empty. And so the Hebrews and Israelites that were there, that were taken into captivity, was just a very few that come back. Just a very few, right? It's about 42,000 people it talks about here in Ezra. The land didn't sit empty of people. The Babylonians that came in, well, they resettled it with people they had sacked from other places, with their own Babylonians, with the people that would come to be known as the Khazars, or actually come to not be known as the Khazars, but would come in and assume another name. And so just remember that when you're reading this. The book of Ezra uses the term Jew very loosely. I think that if you're not familiar with how the Bible uses that term, if you would order one of Pastor's messages, it's called The Most Confusing Word in Scripture. It's an oldie but a goodie, a classic. The Most Confusing Word in Scripture. That'll help clarify that for you. Give you some new insight. So then you can be, like we read in Philippians, that these things won't be darkness to you, but they will be light. And they won't be surprising to you when you read them, but you'll have understanding. And so, we read through it. New king of Persia. Persia is the world power. The new king, King Cyrus, allows a group of exiles. And when you read, you kind of set it up. You see, he just didn't happen to be that way. When you read at the end of 2 Chronicles, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout the land. And when you read, you see that again at the beginning of the book of Ezra, back in chapter 1, that the Lord stirred up his heart. The Lord changed him. Now, did he make him a full-blown Christian to where it was the king that was doing all this stuff? No. No, not at all. But he declared a proclamation proclaiming what would become Christianity. And he set it up that God's servants, people like Ezra, who was teaching the law to the people, could come back in and could, well, do his best to teach and to train. And that's what happened. When you read through, you see the king, then the people come and they're rebuilding the wall, right? The temple. They're rebuilding the temple, and the altar, the sacrifices have been restored. Things, at least for this little group of exiles that have returned. It was good until the enemies of God did their best to stop it. But the prayers, when you read through here, the prayers that are prayed, says even here in the end of chapter 6 that the Passover was restored. That sounds real familiar to me. Seems like the Passover was restored with us back in about 2001. Praise God that it was. And see, it's not just an overnight thing. It wasn't then. It was a returning to God. You can read that a little bit further up. Where's that? God says, return to me, and I'll return to you. But see, we have to do it first, because he's already done his part. Return to me, and I will return to you. And there's a way to return to him. See, there's an order to things. Our God is a God of order. If you saw Brother John's newsletter article, The Courts of Heaven, where he introduced that concept to many. It's not a new concept. It's a biblical concept. One thing I sure got out of that was that just as the court system today has a proper order, well, so does God's. And his desires for us to return to him. It was then. That was one of the things Ezra had to do, was to teach and to remind the people, because they didn't know. They'd forgotten. They'd never heard that. They had been taught a different way. Well, see, don't we have that here? Don't we have that here? It says at the end of verse chapter 6, the Lord had caused them to rejoice, and he had turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them, to encourage them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Ezra 8, verse 23. The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek Him, but His power and His anger against all those who forsake Him. Folks, do you not see, oh man, we're running out of time here. Do you not see how this has been replayed in this country in the last year? Here we are, we've had a presidential election a year ago. We got a new president. And some people damn him to hell because he hadn't just jumped out as being Jesus Christ himself. Well, he's not. I think he's like the king here. He's like Cyrus. The Spirit of the Lord has moved upon him. He's like the king of Assyria, who the Spirit of the Lord has moved upon him to look favorably upon God's children. And set in motion, set decrees that says, okay, Christians, go ahead and do what you're supposed to do now. We're not going to harass you. I'm not going to harass you like the previous kings have. Do you not see that? I sure do. The Lord should cause us to rejoice. Ezra 9 has a prayer of confession. I encourage you to read it and to pray it and to mean it. Because it says, on account of our iniquities, we have been given into captivity, into plunder, into open shame. That's why. And there's nothing new under the sun. But you know, there is a reconciliation. There is a returning, and that's what they did at the end. They confessed, we have been unfaithful to our God. And they put God over even family. And God needs to come first. It needs to be God, family, then our business. That's how we need to be. But many of us put our business first or put our family first. We need to put God first. If there's a conflict between God and our family, when we are staying the straight and narrow, well, then the conflict isn't with God. The conflict is with the family. And it's usually with other members. They saw that. They had that in Ezra's day. Wow, we're out of time. Well, again, folks, we encourage you. We are going to continue to encourage you to read your Bible. You get these gems. You read a little chapter or two. You see how, oh, they are just like today. Nehemiah tomorrow. Nehemiah, hey, there's the wall. Temple's rebuilt. Now let's look at a wall. See, there's a rebuilding. It's a continuing returning to God is what we're seeing in these Old Testament stories right here. And how do they apply to us today? We need to be doing that very thing. We do. Well, geez, we're out of time. Let me get the CD back in. We'll go out. We gotta go out with our outro music. Thanks for tuning in. Didn't get to the phone lines tonight. My apologies. We'll shoot for that on Saturday morning and as well as next Thursday. God bless you, all of those that believe and that follow and obey Jesus Christ the Nazareth, the Son of God.